You're listening to Photo Biz Exposed with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Welcome to this special members-only episode. I've invited Chris Schulbach onto the podcast today. If you're a regular listener, well, actually, if you're a premium member and you're a regular contributor inside the members Facebook group, you'll be familiar with Chris's name. He's a regular contributor in there himself, and when he posts, it always makes good sense. And you get the sense right away that he's a guy that's been in business for a long time. He knows what he's doing. It sounds and he gives off all the vibes that he has a really successful business. He lives in New York. I'm not sure how long he's been running for, and I know we're going to get into that. But the catalyst for this conversation today was a post that Chris put up a couple of months ago. And he said that for the past 3 years, my average workflow is to blog the wedding the Tuesday after a Saturday wedding and to deliver the full gallery 7 days after the wedding, which was just incredible to read that, you know, I get that the odd person does that, but he's doing this consistently on average for the last 3 years. And that's the reason I wanted to talk to him today. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Andrew.
Mate, is that right? You get out a couple of days after a wedding.
Yeah, it's usually on a Tuesday or Wednesday after the wedding. And then a week later, I send the clients the full gallery. So, yeah.
Is that a business decision to do that, or you just thought that's what your clients want? Like, what's the reason for even working so quickly?
It was kind of a business decision to just kind of set myself apart from everybody else. I had heard so many stories about people taking 2-3 months and sometimes longer that I wanted to be different. And one of my philosophies is that being better isn't always better, but being different is better. So that's one of the routes that I took in trying to build my business.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been in business for, and what do you primarily shoot?
7 years, and I'm dedicated solely to weddings right now. And part of my reason for that is I'm also a stay-at-home dad. I have two little boys. They're 6 years old and 4 years old. And I also homeschool them. They're in pre-kindergarten and in first grade. So I kind of have my hands full. So we limit it to just weddings, and I'll shoot between 25 and 30 weddings a year.
Very cool. So what was the reason for homeschooling and, you know, being a stay-at-home dad? Was that a family decision, or because your wife has a fantastic job?
This is the funny part. My wife is a public school teacher.
Serious?
Yeah. And we've just decided that while our kids are still young, we want to have as much influence on them as we possibly can. So we decided that we were going to homeschool and kind of bypass some of the issues that other parents end up bringing into the schools through their children.
That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in the public school system.
No.
That's the short answer.
It doesn't.
And how does your wife, it's Sarah, isn't it? How does she feel about, you know, you spending all the time with the kids? Because I know that generally mums want to be that person doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she loves that one of us is able to do it. She does wish that it was able to be her, but she loves that it is one of us. And she does get the summers off. So even though I'm photographing a wedding on maybe Friday or Saturday during the week, we can do stuff on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday through the weeks in the summertime and take the kids camping or go on different adventures and all that stuff. So it's all good.
Fantastic. And look, when I picture, and I know this is wrong now because I can't remember who, but another member told me that I was totally off the mark, and so are a lot of people. But when I think of New York, I think of a big city. Is that where you live, in the city?
We live about 4 hours northwest of New York City. So if you're looking at a picture of New York State, pretty much right smack dab in the middle in Syracuse.
And so is that city? Is it farmland? Is it bush?
Well, no, it's definitely not bush. Syracuse is a mid-size city, but it's not New York City by any means. You can get anywhere around Syracuse in about 20 minutes. It's pretty easy to get around. We do have a major university, Syracuse University, 3 different big hospitals. So yeah, it's definitely not a small town, but it's also not the country.
Yeah, sure. I get the impression when I talk to people, say, you know, near where you are in New York, that there is so many people that it's going to be easier to run a business there because there's so many people to appeal to or to draw from. Is that the case? Do you feel?
No, I think it's just like anywhere where the market is pretty saturated with photographers, and you also have the limitations of the local economy, right? And one of the things about New York and upstate New York in particular is that it's one of the worst economies in the United States. So between the taxes, people moving away, and businesses moving away, it's a tougher environment to run a small business. But it's definitely doable. And that's one of the reasons that I decided to kind of be so different in my business from what other people were doing. So it would be a way to stand out from others.
For sure. I want to ask you about those differences in just a second. But do you guys, you and Sarah, do you rely on your income as a photographer, or could you guys survive just on Sarah's income?
No, we do incorporate my income. She gets good benefits with her health insurance and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we definitely have to take my income into account in our livelihood.
Okay. All right, cool. And when you say you're trying to do things, or you're trying to be different, or you are different from so many of the competitors out there, what sort of things are separating you from them, do you feel?
One of the things that I really try to focus on is, like, you hear a lot of people talk about they want to tell the story of a wedding day, but I kind of put my money where my mouth is, and I don't show details on my website. I don't show wedding details on my portfolio page or on the blog posts. I've gone so far as to say in a video on my website that if you're looking for somebody who shoots stylized ring shots and shoe shots, that I can direct you to somebody else, because that's just not me. So I have really tried to be a little bit polarizing in how I cover a wedding day to attract the right clients. So
I watched that video a little while ago, and you say those exact things. Is that something you recorded yourself, or did you have someone do that for you and put it up on the site?
I had somebody do it too long ago. I need to redo another one that looks a little bit better. But it was a college student that I had do it for me.
Okay. So do you get, do your clients, the bookie, do they talk about or mention that video?
They do. Probably every month or so, I'll have a bride email me saying that they just got done crying after watching the video and they can't wait to hear more about working with me for their wedding.
Fantastic. Awesome. Mate, tell me about this workflow. How do you get through things so quickly, being a stay-at-home dad and looking after the kids and, running the household and all that other stuff that goes with it?
Yeah. So once I knew that I wanted to be at home with my kids, I really pushed myself to figure out a way to be able to work through a wedding quickly. There was a lot of trial and error through a couple of years leading up to it. But for the past 3 years, it's been every week I get the wedding out at 7 days later. So it really starts with, for me, there is some backstory to it, but it starts with, for me, with shooting on the day, which I know seems kind of like an easy answer and getting things right in the camera. But just using little tricks to get the white balance right, so there's not as much tweaking later.
Like what sort of tip or trick?
On my Canon cameras, I like to use the live view to adjust white balance in Kelvin. So just not going in and thinking, okay, this scene is 3200 Kelvin, but opening up the live view and seeing what it looks like on the screen, which seems a little bit like a cheat, but it gets me through things quickly when you're in the middle of a mess.
Are you shooting JPEG or RAW?
I'm shooting RAW as well, but yeah.
So you're shooting RAW, but you're still trying to get the white balance as close as you can while you're shooting.
Yeah, because that's one less thing that I have to touch in the editing if I can get it right in the camera. And for me, trying to get everything done in a week, kind of every second counts in the editing.
Is there anything else you're doing on the day?
Not too much besides the white balance and exposure. Just trying to get that stuff as dead on as possible. And then as far as once I get everything back home, we don't have to go into all the backup stuff like Matt Druin just did, but I'm pretty big on that too. But then once I actually started my process, I also use Photo Mechanic to cull through things pretty quickly. And one of the things I do that might be different from other people who do multiple passes is I just go through and I just cull in one pass in Photo Mechanic. And then from there, I just go through and hit the arrow key to get to the next photo and press the T key to tag the ones that I'm going to keep. So I'm editing in and culling in instead of culling out.
Oh, hang on. You're tagging the files that you want to keep.
I'm tagging only the keepers. Yep.
Okay. It's totally opposite to what I do. And I do two passes. So yeah, right. Okay. Totally different.
Yeah. So I'm only tagging the keepers because I want to have my focus on what's good instead of looking for what's bad. And then what I do is I just select everything that's tagged And those are the only photos that get imported into Lightroom. So it makes it a little bit quicker there as well. And then I just go through, and as I'm editing, I will make a little pick as to which photos I'm going to potentially blog, which photos might be portfolio images, and then give a color code to which photos might need a little bit of extra Photoshop work.
Is this all happening in Photo Mechanics still?
No, this is happening in Lightroom.
Okay, so you've taken all your tagged good photos or favorites into Lightroom, and now you're starting to go through them again one by one.
Yes, yep. So I'll go through and I'll make any adjustments using a standard preset that I've created for my look. Apply the preset, make sure the color is good, make sure the exposure is good, make sure the cropping is good, and then move on to the next photo. If there's something that I think is going to end up on my blog, I'll tag it with a flag. If there's something that needs to have some extra Photoshop work, I'll give it a blue color tag. So then later on, I can just pull those up, give those the work they need. And I'm usually done editing the wedding on Tuesday.
Okay. How many images are we talking roughly?
Average delivery is 700 to 800 images.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be pretty much an average across most wedding photographers. So you've shot the wedding on Saturday. You don't look at anything on Sunday, and then you start getting into this on Monday. Is that right?
Sometimes I'll start on Sunday night, the call, but sometimes it's Monday morning as well. If I know it's a lot of images that I've shot on the day, we had two photographers and we had a lot more images, then I might start on Sunday night after the kids go to bed.
Okay. So by Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evening, you've finished color correcting the full wedding.
I'm done editing the wedding and Photoshop. Monday night, I'll be done color correcting. And then Tuesday, I'll open up any of the files that need extra Photoshop work and take care of that. And then process out the images that I'm going to blog, load them up on my blog, and then on Tuesday night or Wednesday, I'll go through and do the alt tagging on the blog images in WordPress.
So you actually create the blog post, send it live, and then go back and do the alt tagging?
No, not send it live. It'll go in as a draft. And then I'll go in and on Wednesday do the alt tagging and any writing that I'm going to do, and publish it on Wednesday.
Okay. I want to come back to what you do after here, but I don't know how you manage this, because if I get up on a Monday morning, even if I've got a wedding to edit, and to be honest, I don't do most of that these days because Linda and Tennille are doing that.
Sure, yeah.
But the first thing I do is open up my email, and then I'm usually lost for a couple of hours doing that. So how do you work around all that stuff?
So part of that is I'm only running a wedding business. So the only emails that I'm dealing with on a business level are wedding clients. I don't have portraits on my website. I don't have an option to contact me about portraits. So that cuts down quite a bit of the email that you might be getting compared to what I'm getting. I'm also not running another website like you are.
But, you know, even things like subscriptions, you know, I've got subscriptions to different things and blog posts, whatever. You know, I'm just fine that I've got stuff popping up in my email.
Yeah.
Do you have any of those distractions, or you turn them off, or you just ignore them?
Most bulk emails don't get through to me. I use an email service called Unroll Me, which kind of rolls everything up into one email. And most of my subscription emails come to me in one email. So pretty much my inbox is business-related emails. So, yeah, I'll take care of those in the morning before I get the kids off. And on Mondays, my kids go to a babysitter. So one day a week, they're at a babysitter. So that's why Monday is my big editing day.
Okay, so you have to get things done that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so that's a good incentive.
Yes, yep.
All right, so on Tuesday then, I'm imagining you've got the kids again.
Yes.
So you're working around them?
No, usually it'll be Tuesday night. So after my wife gets home from work, after dinner or after they go to bed is when I'll finish up that Photoshop work on Tuesday night.
Wow. So that's even less hours than what I'm picturing, because you're spending Tuesday with the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So it's usually about 10 to 11 hours worth of work on a wedding and post-production for me.
Okay. And you just get stuck straight in and do it right away.
Yes.
What do you think other photographers are doing? Like, why aren't other photographers turning things around like you are?
Well, part of the reason that I can do this, and I know it won't work for everybody, it is because of how I've presented myself as a business to my clients, and my business being about the story, not being about perfection in the end, being about emotion instead of fine art. So I know people are going to end up going to my website to check out what I'm doing, and I can guarantee you're not going to see perfection there. I can guarantee that a lot of people are going to look at my photos and say, what is this?
No, they won't.
And I'm fine with people if people think that, because we're just approaching wedding photography from a different angle. My work isn't about perfection. It's not about having everything just right. It's about telling the story and about bringing forward emotion on the day, from the day. So that's why the rest of my website is the way that it is. So it kind of filters out people that are looking for perfection. So from the beginning, my clients aren't looking for that certain level of perfection, that certain level of fine art that they might find with other people. So I think that's a big reason that I can get away with the speed that I do. I think a lot more people take a lot more work to refine images that I'm not doing.
So you're not spending time, you know, using the liquify tool. You're not retouching skin.
Correct.
Right. Okay. It's more a documentary approach.
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Got it. This is cool. Once you release the blog, it goes live. What's your next step?
So then I will export all of the photos and make sure that they're backed up in the cloud and on my drives. And then I just sit on it until they're home from their honeymoon or on their way back from their honeymoon, depending on how long their honeymoon is, and then send them the email with the gallery.
With the blog post, do you message them on Facebook or do you send them an email saying, hey guys, you know, your blog post is up?
I'll just post a photo and tag the clients if they're on Facebook.
Like I said, one photo and that'll link back to the blog post.
Correct, yeah.
All right, that's great. Okay, and so you've actually got the whole wedding finished at this stage and you're waiting for them to return so you can deliver them.
Yeah, because I feel like Tuesday is too quick to deliver.
Okay.
So I had to wait at least a week.
So it looks like what you're doing is worth more.
A little bit, yeah. But I feel like it's something that's working for me, because in the past 3 years that I've been working on this workflow and getting these weddings out on a weekly basis, I've been able to increase my income drastically and increase my word of mouth referrals drastically, which has been pretty awesome. One of the things that I also do is I include an album with every wedding booking. So later on in that week, I'll do the album design up front. I pre-design them, and then I will upsell them on the number of pages that were included and all that kind of thing to kind of increase my average. And so next year is looking like my average wedding will be about $5,200.
Fantastic. That's awesome. But you just said that, you know, you've increased your word of mouth a lot and also your income. I totally get your word of mouth is going to go through the roof because people love getting their images quickly. You're blogging, not only blogging them quickly, you're delivering the whole set of wedding images quickly, which is fantastic. How have you improved your income by having a fast turnaround?
I think it just comes down to being different and impressing the clients so much that they're willing to take the first step to talk to their friends about what I was doing. One of my favorite comments from a bride that I've ever received, I sent the gallery to her, and about 3 days later, she emailed me back and said, Chris, I just want to let you know that I have friends that are retroactively upset with their wedding photographers for taking so long on the photos. So
that's awesome. That's great to hear. You mentioned there you include an album with every package, which is exactly what I do as well, and I think that works really well for me. Are you doing that solely to have an upsell option at the end? Is that why you do it?
No, I do it because I want people to have photos in print. I could probably upsell more than I actually do, but to me, it's just personally important that everybody has their photos in print, because we don't know what's going to happen to JPEGs down the road. We don't know what's going to happen with discs and USB drives and all that kind of stuff. We don't know how people are going to take care of their files. We just don't know how this electronic stuff is going to last. And I know that I can look back at my grandparents' wedding albums, and I know that I can look back at my parents' wedding albums, and I know that my kids are going to be able to look back at my wedding album, and I want the same thing for my clients. So
for sure. Yeah, I'm the same. I don't know what the answer to this question is. I've got no idea. And I don't want to put you on the spot here. So you can evade this one if you want to. But you but you recently did the GE Masana course, and that was talking about upselling. Have you changed the way you're upselling since that course?
Not yet. We're not done with the course yet. I think we're about halfway through it. And it is kind of what I don't want to give away GE's secrets in this class, so people will still sign up for it. I do something similar to his plan already, worded in a different way, but I have never attached the same prices like he has done. So, but I do something similar, and I've been averaging about $600 additional per wedding and upsells. So,
like I see, you've got quite a high price to come in to book you in the first place, because if your average is around 55, so that's not a big upsell, really.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. What are you doing to get your extra 600 average for the upsell?
So I will just add the pages to it, and I'll just say, look, I want you guys to have this album. I think this is the best story of your wedding day that I could tell. So if we can keep it to just a few image swaps, I'd love to offer you a discount off of the contracted price of these additional pages and bring it down to the price. So what I've been liking to do is make my profit off the album in the package up front, and then have the upsell later be around the price, my price of the album, or maybe a little bit more, to cover that cost of it, and have the profit come in the package price up front.
Okay, so it's like a little bit of a sweetener for you at the end of the day. You're getting the cost of the album covered by that upsell.
Correct, yep.
Okay, just so I understand this right, and the listener does as well, they might have booked a 30-sided album, you're going to design a 40-side, and you're going to give them a discount if they take the album as it is.
Correct, yep. So my main motivation isn't to make the extra profit on there. That may become so as I start thinking about my children's college expenses a little bit more. But, you know, right now I'm making enough money where I'm comfortable, and I really love being able to take care of the clients. So I feel like I'm right now in a happy place where I feel like I'm being taken care of by my clients, and I feel like I'm able to take care of my clients. So
yeah, that's a nice place to be, isn't it?
Yes.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming into the quiet season for you. Things are starting to cool down, and I guess there's a lot less weddings. So do you budget for that period, or do you just accept that it's slow? How do you handle that quiet time?
I do a little bit of a few things. It's definitely budgeting my business expenses, personal expenses. But one of the things that I've also done is put in place a payment structure for my clients that kind of evens out the cash flow a little bit. So all my clients pay upfront a retainer to book the wedding day. They pay 3 months before the wedding day, and then they pay 2 weeks before the wedding day. So as I have weddings starting to come in April, I have payments for those weddings starting to come in January. So it helps to kind of even out the cash flow a little bit throughout the year as well.
Okay, that's nice. So how do you divide that up in percentages? Is that just 33% payments?
Yeah, roughly a third each, yep.
Okay. Do they sign a contract to do that, or do you just...
They do. They have a contract with a payment plan, and I use a system online called Honeybook, which isn't as robust as some of the other options like Sprout or Tave or Studio Ninja or any of those other ones. But I've specifically chosen it because it only does invoicing and contracts, and being a guy that's extremely concerned about backup, I didn't want to have all my eggs in one basket with my client management system. But so yeah, it takes care of my invoicing for me, sending out reminders to clients and accepting the payments and all that good stuff.
Okay. When they sign a contract, are they also authorizing direct debit, or you just send them a reminder, you know, 3 months before the wedding? Hey guys, it's time for a payment.
They can choose either. They can choose to have it done automatically, or they can choose to be reminded. It's up to them.
Okay. That's a really cool way to have that, or sort out your cash flow, isn't it, through that quiet period? I love that.
It is, yeah. That's yeah.
Cool. Wait, what were you doing before photography?
I was a pastor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was a pastor, a youth pastor for a long time, working with high school kids. So, yeah.
A pastor is different to a priest, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. A priest would... I mean, as certain religions would call it priests and pastors, but I was part of a non-denominational church. So yeah, that was my full-time business before going full-time with photography.
That was a business, being a pastor?
That was my full-time job, my full-time income. Yeah.
So you actually get paid as a pastor. That's a job.
Correct. Yep.
When you say pastor, I mean, I think priest and I think someone who doesn't have any worldly goods, you know, it's just God and he will provide.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different for you.
Yeah. Well, you have to provide for the family, right? So, yeah. But I'm also currently part of a church as well that a friend of mine and I had started from scratch. So there's another reason why I had to get things done quickly, because I am the one in our current church who takes care of all the business dealings, the logistics, and that kind of stuff. So I've got kind of three different plates spinning with my kids and the photography business and the church. So,
wow, man, I'm so glad we did this. I always learn things about people that I've never have known that. Wow, that's really cool. So as a pastor, are you delivering sermons? Is that sort of thing?
No, I don't do that. I do lead a bunch of things, but we leave the upfront stuff to the other guy.
Very cool.
I don't have enough time in the day to come up with all that stuff. So,
mate, this has been a real pleasure, Chris, and I just want to say thanks for coming on the show. I always look forward to it. Well, I always love reading your posts inside the Facebook group, and I always listen when you speak because you make so much sense all the time. So, mate, thank you again for coming on and doing this.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully it was helpful to somebody. I know it's not going to apply to everybody because of my approach to it, but at least it gives people something to think about.
Oh, 100%. And look, where is the best place for people to go and see your work?
My website is thestoryphotography.com. So that would be the best place.
Cool. I'll add links to that and other places people can find you as well in the show notes. So again, Chris, thank you so much, mate.
Thanks, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.